What's better than one piano? Two pianos. At least that's what Rachmaninoff must have thought when he wrote two full suites for two pianos in his early days. The first, Opus 5, called Fantaisie Tableau, is based on four different poems in a quite impressionistic musical conception. And the second suite, Opus 17, is the most popular for good reason and has four more traditional movements. And if you ever get the chance to see this live, you won't regret it, because it's quite a spectacle to see 20 fingers playing two keyboards in sync in this gorgeous music. Check out the dazzling waltz of the second movement, for example.
Context of composition.
This work marked Rachmaninoff's return after 3 years of laying low following the premiere of his first symphony, which was a disaster. He got really depressed and doubted himself, but got to see a therapist who helped him. So in the year 1900, he composed the second piano concerto, Opus 18, which is actually dedicated to his therapist, along with this suite, Opus 17, and the cello sonata, Opus 19. All of these works had premiere within a month in 1901 with great success, so Rach was back with confidence. And there's no better movement to illustrate this return than the magnificent march of the first movement, so let's check it out.
Movement 1, Introduction, a la Marsi.
Chords feel like they're written out as if it's one piano part, but for giant hands.
Big hands!
But at the same time, they are quick and bouncy, which gives this unique texture of thick and slim at the same time. The eighth notes drive relentlessly forward, and we don't move far away from C major. There's a middle section, where the texture finally separates between the pianos, a restrained melody, and the march rhythms continue as accompaniment with interesting commenting entries. There's a development in texture to fit in even more parts, working together in symphonic scope. The melody here is very similar to a place in the second piano concerto, that's written in the same year as we saw. Eventually, the melody comes to an end, piano 1 waits around, and suddenly a motif from the first section enters to signal the return of a full A section again. There's a coda with a thinner melodic entry over bell-like chords, traded around a bit, and eventually only the marching drums in the bass remain, which ends the piece calmly in C major.
Movement 2, a waltz.
This waltz has one of the most exquisite piano textures ever written. So we have the typical waltz umpapa accompaniment divided between the left hands on both pianos so that the right hands can play these whirling eighth notes. It's totally impossible on one piano to play thirds this fast and light, but one half each is kind of a breeze, and the effect is just brilliant. The first waltz section is an ABA form with the middle part, poco meno mosso, slightly slower, which is a firm melody, then a build-up and short recap of the waltz. Then there's a bigger middle section in the large structure, another melody with steady notes in one piano, but here supported by waves of arpeggios in the other piano. That's also much more uncomfortable than they look. Pianos then switch roles, and we get the same melody, but the first piano adds a layer of quick notes on top. And this is the best kind of Russian romantic melody that Rachmaninoff surely learned from Tchaikovsky. It pushes upward one sequence at a time, over super lush extended chords, minor substitutions, chromatic fillers, until it reaches a perfect musical climax. Then it even takes time to cuddle afterwards, and returns to a sober state where the waltz motif starts to come back. There's a longer transition back, but eventually we get basically a full repeat of the fast waltz section. The B part then goes to the parallel G minor instead of the relative E minor as before, and instead of leading back to the waltz, we get a coda with a mix of material from the movement. The very ending is also worth mentioning. Again, the resulting sum of both pianos is just a sounding third, a G and a B, in a hemiola rhythm against the quick triple time winding down. But it wouldn't sound like that on one piano if you had to repeat the notes that quickly. But instead, both pianos play a very light legato between two notes, like up and down, but in contrary motion, and the result is this extremely smooth signal disappearing up in the sky.
Movement 3, Romance.
This is a proper slow movement and another highlight of the piece. So warm and safe, but also expansive, like it's feeling the whole world. The melody is based on a simple ascending scale figure, and that motif is presented simultaneously in different speeds throughout the movement. Here it's solistically in eighth notes in piano 1 and accompanying a 16th notes in piano 2. And in the recap, it's also stated in a slower version at the same time. There's a middle section, and I've got to mention the two piano texture here as well. So it's a new melody, feeling its way around one note with an aching minor second above it. It's stated melodically in piano 1, and it's also fully present in piano 2. And if you only look at the piano 2 part, you might be tempted to differentiate the balance and lift it up. But the thing is, you shouldn't, because piano 1 takes care of that. Instead, piano 2 should play the 16th notes just legato and equally and very soft. So the effect is this embellishing in the sound of the melody with a soft rocking between the chromatic notes next to it. And then some twinkling stars chime in. Then we get quicker movement with 16th triplets in accompaniment, but the melody is still pursuing wherever the eighth notes will lead. It's traded between the pianos in a kind of a developmental section. And eventually we get back to the signature of A flat major, poco più mosso, slightly faster, and a motif of descending scales to build up toward the proper recapitulation. And in fact, it's exactly the same type of descending scale motif we have in a place in the waltz as well. Very nice connection between the movements. Here it leads to a powerful statement of the ascending scale, again stated in both pianos, but with different textures overlapping, thick chords and 16th triplets to flesh it out. Continuing with the recap, we get it with a slower version integrated, as we saw before. Then there's a coda of Menomosso, melodic, with a chromatically commenting voice underneath. Rachmaninoff also uses this same material in his lovely Romance for one piano and six hands, another gem in the repertoire. Movement slows down a lot for the ending when it's reached the home key of A flat major, and that's good because we need a calm moment to collect ourselves before the torment of the finale.
Movement 4, Tarantelle.
The finale is another quick folk dance, namely the Tarantelle. It's from Italy and the name comes from Tarantula as the spider. I always thought it was just that it moves really quick, like a spider that's running, but apparently the connection is that if you're bitten by the spider, it was thought to lead to a hysterical condition called tarantism, and in order to prevent that, you were prescribed to dance hysterically for a long time in order to expel the venom from the body. This doesn't really hold up scientifically, but that's the origins of the dance. Musically, it's in 6/8, but so quick we almost feel only one beat in a bar, and then blocks of 2 and 4 bars grouped together in a hypermeter. And very quick gestures with either straight eighth notes or the uneven quarter note and eighth note group. This is a really cool movement, very dramatic with accents and outbursts, but also with lightning fast runs and this like insectoid crawling. And the form is like sonata form, there's a main theme statement in C minor, but in general the point of the music is the pace of new ideas entering and suddenly breaking out.
Thank you.
There's another important statement in chromatic medians that stands out that closes off the main theme section. And here a secondary theme follows, more predictable with one piano playing a slow melody and standard jumpy chords accompaniment, and the other piano doing a solo over it with these spidery eighth notes, often repeating. You really get into a trance of following this line, and it's so satisfying to have classical music that is both interesting harmonically and also keeps a steady groovy beat. Mozart's Alla Turca or Chopin's Fantasy Impromptu are other examples where this feature has made them famous, and this tarantelle is on par with those, in my opinion. After that solo, we reach a lengthy development section. It starts off with a big slow wave wallowing in D flat and A flat major, but then it gets going on an adventure with super busy lines across both pianos, ups and downs, and quick new ideas breaking off all the time. Eventually builds up the tension, Rachmaninoff throws in divisions of 2 against the 6-8 time for some really dense rhythmical textures, and we end up with the closing statements of the main theme section, the chromatic medians, that marks the breakthrough of the recapitulation in the movement. Leads again to the secondary theme section, where piano 2 gets the solo this time. And then a coda as usual, here's Più Mosso, with more turns and chromatic modulation and even the eighth notes motif stated in canon at one time. Finally, the two pianists get to line up and play the same thing at the same time, and after a sprint to the finish line, it goes out with a bang.
Recording recommendations.
If you search for this on YouTube, the top hits are of course live performances with big names like Ergerich or Luganski or Yuya Wang and Luganski or Trifonov and Babayan. And of course they're all brilliant pianists, but I think when they play this, they do the waltz too quickly, like all of them. Because the marking is presto of 84 to a measure, but they play it more like 120 in those recordings. And I think it's a shame because you lose a lot of the charm of the waltz to have some air of elegance within the movements. They also play the tarantelle super fast, but that movement can handle the speed better than the waltz. So instead, I recommend going to a music streaming platform, and I have two recommendations with good waltz tempi. It's Petrov and Gindin from 2013, very tightly played and great balance between virtuosity and structure. And Owen and Apekisheva from 2018 with better sound quality, and they bring out more of this delicious mysteriousness in the music, especially in the romance. There's also an Ashkenazi and Previn from 1975, which is good but a bit too direct for my taste. That's it for this episode. Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets, and this video's Patreon shoutout goes to N. Ladas and Jane Nierman.